It is my joy to greet all of you on this third Sunday of Advent as we move ever closer to the manger and to the story and celebration of Jesus' birth. I'm glad to be with all of you, whether you're joining us over live stream or here in the sanctuary. Your presence matters, and it's good to be together. I'd like to invite you to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. And once they get passed down and back again, if those of you sitting in the middle, remember to do it. It helps if you tear those sheets out and place them on top of the pads. That's a great help to our ushers. If you're joining us online, there's a link that you can paste and put in your browser to register and let us know that you're present and with us today. We are in the heart of the Advent season, and there are several opportunities coming up in the next couple of weeks for us to worship and ponder the gift that is being given into the world through the birth of Christ. First and foremost is this evening at 5:30, our annual candle lighting service. This is a long-standing West End tradition. We do expect a big crowd tonight, so we invite you, if you are able and are familiar with the Caterpillar parking process, to park next door. It is that way, yes. To park in the parking garage at Caterpillar, there are instructions in the bulletin on how best to do that so that we'll have more room for our guests for whom it might be the first time. The handbells will start ringing at 5:10, and then we will begin at 5:30 with lots of music and scripture reading as all of us together hear the story of Jesus' birth. This coming Wednesday, we will not have our regular Wednesday night supper and children's choir programming, but we will be having our family night movie, watching The Grinch, the Benedict Cumberbatch version, if that matters, and that will start at 6 o'clock up in the fourth story theater. The following Wednesday, the 21st at 6:30 p.m., we'll have a service of worship that we call the Service of the Longest Night. It's a quieter service, a more contemplative service, and is especially powerful for those of us who may be walking through a difficult season during these weeks and days. So we invite you to come and find peace and comfort in that service. Christmas Eve services are 4 o'clock and 10:30 p.m. Christmas Day and New Year's Day, there will be one service at 10 o'clock with no Sunday school. So we just wanted to make sure everyone was aware of the schedule over the next couple of weeks and all the opportunities for worship together. Finally, I just want to introduce, in case you haven't had a chance to meet, Chris Donald. He is a friend and colleague, and he and his family have become part of the West End United Methodist Church family. He is the chaplain at Vanderbilt University, and he will be serving as one of our liturgists today and then going out with the kids to help with Children's Church. So I wanted to introduce him to you as he helps lead us in worship this morning. But here we are, this third week of Advent, continuing to prepare and wait for the Messiah who is coming. Let us open our hearts and lives to receive him as he comes.
Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship, which is printed in your bulletin. God, you sent messengers to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation.
God of mercy, let us respond to their call.
You call us to spread the good news of the coming Messiah.
God of salvation, may our worship today glorify you in all things.
Please be seated.
We light this third candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of the salvation of Christ coming into our world. Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. The wilderness and dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. And ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
The gifts of the Advent season are hope, peace, love, and joy. Let us now make our confession before God, that by God's grace we might receive these gifts in abundance and in turn share them freely with others. Please join me in the prayer of confession, which is printed in your bulletin. God of salvation, sometimes you have hard words for us to hear. The voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, calls us to take a closer look at ourselves and our world to see where we are falling short. We prioritize our own comfort over justice and equality for all. We act out of fear rather than faith. Save us from ourselves, O God. May our hearts be filled with repentance. May we turn towards your love, your mercy, your grace. Help us to have ears to hear, eyes to see, and hands that will work for the coming of your kingdom. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written,
See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The word of God for the people of God.
The grown-ups to be seated, and any children who are here who'd like to come forward and join me. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens. I have someone I want to introduce to you this morning. A very old friend. Hey, good morning. Come on up. Good morning. Good morning. Glad to see all of you, Penny. I'm so glad you're here. Hey, CJ, come on up. Well, come on up. I have a very old friend that I want to introduce to you. This is Gilly, and a friend of mine gave him to me when I was in high school, which is over 35 years ago. So Gilly is probably older than some of your parents. I have had him with me since then, and wherever I have lived, Gilly has gone with me. I took him to college with me. He was in my dorm room. I lived in Washington, D.C., and he was with me in Washington, D.C. Then I moved to Atlanta, and he came with me to Atlanta, and now he lives in my house with me. And over the years, Gilly has been a great comfort to me. There have been times when I've gone through some hard things, like I was sick or I had to have surgery or my mom and dad passed away. And I would just put Gilly's arms around my neck and just hug him tight and cry into his little white chest. And it was always very comforting to me. And then there were times that I was really happy, like when Mr. David asked him to marry me or when he asked me to marry him. Woohoo! I was so excited. We found out we were going to have a baby. Woohoo! We're so excited. So happy times and sad times, Gilly's just always been there. And it makes me think about something we hear in the season of Advent, this season where we're waiting to celebrate Jesus' birth. We're reminded that one name that was sometimes given to Jesus was Emmanuel. Have you heard that? Emmanuel. And that means God with us. And I'm reminded that God is with us in everything. In the sad times, in the happy times, when we're crying and when we're laughing, God is always with us. And we go through hard things, and we go through good things and happy things, but God is always with us. So I'm grateful for Gilly that helps me give something to hug and to remember God's presence. And I hope you have something, too, that helps you remember God is with you. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the stuffed animals in our lives, most especially for the people in our lives who remind us that we are never alone, that you are always with us. We thank you for this time of year when we can remember that you came to earth as Jesus, a little baby, to be with us and to remind us that no matter what, you are always right with us. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. All right. Well, if you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Chris and Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And otherwise, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. And I'm going to put Gilly up in this pulpit so he can stare at the choir. Actually, looks like he's falling asleep, so I'll just let him sleep back there. So here we are, the third Sunday of Advent. And it's usually about this time in Advent when, you know, shopping is getting a little crazy. Things are starting to catch up with us. We've been to a few Christmas parties, many of us, that the season is ramping up. And then we come to church and we bump into John the Baptist. What a buzzkill, right? John the Baptist. Usually when we encounter him during Advent, he is pacing back and forth on the banks of the Jordan River. He's wearing his camel's hair. He's eating locusts, and he's crying out, "You brood of vipers!" Who wants to hear that in the middle of the holiday season? But this is John's voice that comes to us so often in the Advent season. And what he was sent to do was to prepare the way, prepare the people to be ready for the Messiah to come, to call people to repentance, to examine themselves, to look at their lives, to open their eyes, to wake up and be ready for the God who is coming through the gift of the Messiah. And so we hear him say to those who are gathered on the banks of the Jordan, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is coming near." When the Pharisees and Sadducees come, it is to them that he says, "You brood of vipers, who told you to flee from the wrath that is to come?" "Yes, one is coming," says John, "who will carry his winnowing fork in his hand, and he will separate the wheat from the chaff, the good from the bad, so you better be ready." But that's not where we see John this morning. On this third Sunday of Advent, in the 11th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, we find John the Baptist in a very different place. He is no longer free to roam the banks of the Jordan River. His voice, in many ways, has been silenced by King Herod, who has thrown John into prison. For you see, John had the boldness and the gall to criticize Herod, to call Herod to account for marrying his brother's wife, and Herod didn't like it, and so he threw John in prison. And we know from the story that he will have John executed in a very short amount of time. So now we find John within the very confined space of a prison cell, sitting in darkness, wondering about his fate. Now, Jesus' public ministry has already started. After he was baptized by John in the Jordan, he began teaching and preaching in Galilee. So John has been hearing about Jesus' ministry. But as he sits there in this lonely, dark, forsaken place, He seems to have a different perspective on things. And so he sends his disciples to ask Jesus the question, are you the one who is to come? Or should we wait for another? Now, there are a lot of ways to interpret this question of John. We talked about several of them in Bible study on Tuesday. What was John's tone in this? What is he asking exactly? What do you hear in that question of John? Well, I'll tell you what I hear through the lens of my own life in this moment, which could be different when I read it next year. But I hear John saying, are you the Messiah or not? Because you're certainly not the one I was looking for. See, John had preached this wrath that was coming, this judgment that was coming. The Messiah is going to come and clean house and set everything up, set everything straight. And there were others in the community of God's people who expected the Messiah to come and toss out the Roman occupying army and occupy the throne of David and make Israel a great nation once again. All of these expectations of who the Messiah was going to be. And yet we see Jesus in these first chapters of Matthew being a very different kind of Messiah. We hear the Sermon on the Mount in chapters 5, 6, and 7. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Love your enemies. And then we see Jesus in chapters 8 and 9 traveling around Galilee and spending time on the margins with the poor and the outcast and the blind and the lame and the lepers. Somehow this has confused John the Baptist, I think. And so he sends word, are you the Messiah? Or did I get it wrong? I wonder if you and I can join John in his prison cell this morning. The painting that we have on the cover of the bulletin was painted in the 16th century by a Spanish artist. There weren't that many paintings of John in prison that we could find. But you can see the ropes around his wrist and his downcast visage. And what he seems to be looking at is a cross. Not only is Jesus' ministry unexpected, but his destination is also unexpected. That the Messiah of God would end up dying on a cross in shame. Is this really the kind of Messiah we want? Is this the one we're preparing for? Or should we wait for another? I can identify with John, and maybe you can too. Maybe in this particular season of Advent, you are finding yourselves in a darker place than you'd like to be. Perhaps a medical diagnosis, or the grief of losing someone you love who won't be at the holiday table this year, or the loss of a job or a broken relationship. Or maybe it's looking around the world and seeing this war in Ukraine that continues to drag on, or all of the devastation around climate change, all of these things, and we want to say, are you the Messiah or not? Will you save us or not? What kind of Messiah are you? What expectations do we have? What do we hope for in this one who is coming? Well, I think we can learn from Jesus' response to John and find hope in what Jesus says and does. First of all, he does not condemn John for asking the question. He doesn't say, well, how dare you ask that of me? Don't you remember when we met on the side of the Jordan and I asked you to baptize me and you said, I shouldn't baptize you, you should baptize me. Didn't you know then that I was the Messiah? Why question now? No, Jesus doesn't say that. I think he understands the pain that John is in and the uncertainty that has arisen in his life. And so he tells John's disciples, go and tell John this really good news. Tell him that the blind see, the lame walk, the The deaf hear and the poor have good news brought to them. Jesus knows that these are the signs of the kingdom, that he is a Messiah who will come along people in their places of pain and marginalization and grief and be with them. It doesn't mean he will solve all the world's problems or fix everything for us or protect us from suffering in our lives. But he is God with us in the flesh. And then he commends John for the work that John has done. John has been a prophet who has prepared the way, and there's no one greater in the kingdom of God, Jesus says. John has done his part. And even though now he is in a dark place, God is with him, and he is an instrument of the gospel. I don't know about you, but there are things in my own life that I still want God to fix. When we wait for the arrival of Jesus, I'm still dealing with these headaches. They're a lot better, but please take my headache away. Please make this relationship better. Please do this, fix this, do this. But John invites us to repentance and self-examination. And he invites all of us to look within ourselves at what are our expectations? What do we really want God to do for us? And then he invites us to let go of those expectations. Can we set aside our agendas, set aside all of the things that we think the Messiah should be, and make room for him to be just as he is, to come to us and surprise us, to come to us as Emmanuel, not the great conquering hero who's going to fix everything, but God with us. For it is only God with us who can save us. Thanks be to God.
Body or in spirit, and join me in affirming our faith together, number 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here in the sanctuary, you can fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you and put them in the offering plates in a few moments. This morning, we extend our sympathy to Tom Trent and his family. They are mourning the death of his mother, Sally Ritter Trent, who passed away on November 30th in Schererville, Indiana. We also remember Kay and Craig Gabbert and their family, who are mourning the loss of Kay's father, Joe Cooper, who passed away on November 30th in Clinton, Mississippi. Services were held there on December the 6th. Neil and Ann Lambert are mourning the death of Neil's mother, Betty Lambert, who passed away on December the 4th in Clarksville, Tennessee. Services were held there on Friday, December 9th at First Baptist Church of Clarksville. And finally, we remember the family and friends of Larry Majors, who passed away on December 5th. A memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. on Thursday, December 15th at All Saints Chapel at the University of the South in Sewanee, Tennessee. Among his survivors is his wife Lucy Majors, sisters-in-law Christy Smith and Gay Vakovius, and brother-in-law Al Vakovius. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of love, in this season of hope and anticipation, we give you thanks for the gifts of this season, for the ways in which your inbreaking love appears in music and lights, in food and warm fellowship, and in acts of kindness and service. We give you thanks for those who prepare the way for us to experience your presence among us. This morning, we remember those for whom this season feels like a burden. We lift up those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, those whose financial circumstances leave them with stress and uncertainty. We remember those who are ill, those who are recovering from surgery, those who are struggling with mental health in this season of short days and long nights. We lift up to you those who are experiencing conflict in their relationships. And we pray for the needs of our world, those places where war and famine, natural disaster and human-made tragedy cause pain and suffering. O Holy Comforter, remind us of your promises and help us to live in hope. Make our way holy, O God. Guide our steps, our words and actions, that we may participate in the inbreaking of your love. Help us to live in the joy of your love. Help us to offer kindness and compassion to others. And like John the Baptist, may we seek you in our world and point others to the hope of your salvation. All of our prayers, both spoken and unspoken, we offer to you in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. For those of you joining us online, you're invited to give via the options on the screen. And here in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates in a few moments. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us.
blind see, the lame walk, the poor have good news brought to them. These are the signs of the kingdom brought into us by the Messiah. May we receive him as he is and join him in his work that we might know deep peace and joy and hope. Amen.